I wanted to share with you this morning a message that's entitled Fishers of Men from Luke chapter 5. You can see on the screen that if you're going to use a pew Bible, there on page 728, you'll find Luke chapter 5 verses 1 through 11. And it's a message that I think all of us need to hear, because we all need to be evangelistically involved in the work of the kingdom. We need to be sharing the gospel with others. And so we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 5, an interesting little story about Jesus and his disciples. And we're going to be reading verses 1 through 11 at this time. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, which is also known as the Sea of Galilee, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats, left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came, and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. What an amazing story. A story, but actually a historical event. I mean, we call them Bible stories, but they're things that actually happened. And I'm amazed at the interaction between Jesus and these men of the Sea of Galilee. First of all, Jesus has a large crowd gathering around him, and he's next to the Sea of Galilee. Jesus made his home up in Capernaum, which is a seaside or a, you know, lakeside village. And so people were accustomed to gathering around to hear Jesus teach. And as the crowd is getting larger and larger, and Jesus is walking along the beach along the Sea of Galilee, he sees two fishermen's boats there, and the fishermen have already worked all night, and here they are washing out their nets and maybe doing some mending, making sure that they're ready for the next time that they will work. And in the Jesus sees these two boats, he climbs into one of the two boats and asks Simon Peter to push out a little bit from the shore. And I think this is another one of those perfect settings in Jesus' teaching. Have you ever been around a lake? I mean, I live there at Rock Lake. And we've talked about it just recently again, how when it's peaceful and still around the lake, and there isn't any wind, the water's calm, you can be hearing someone on the opposite side of the lake, and they're not yelling and screaming, they're just talking. And the words carry right across the water, across the lake. So I'm imagining in my mind's eye, Jesus sitting in the boat, pushed out from shore a little ways. The lake is placid, it's calm, and Jesus is teaching. He doesn't have to lift his voice to a strong voice, but it's carrying across the water right there onto the beach side where all of the crowd has gathered to hear Jesus teach. Now, Jesus finishes that time of teaching, And we're not even told what he taught on that particular occasion. And instead of saying, okay, Simon Peter, thanks, you know, appreciate it, you know, and off he goes, or offering to give him some form of payment or anything else, what was it that Jesus said to Simon Peter? Let's push out into the deep. And he told Simon Peter, let down your nets for a catch. Now, did you notice also what Simon Peter responded with? Peter responds, Lord, we have worked hard all night long and not caught anything. Now, that was the custom with nets. They would go out at night in their boats. They'd let down those nets down deep, and then they would start hauling them in and closing them up and bringing them up, and nothing, empty. Can you imagine doing that not just once or twice or a half a dozen times, but fishing all night long and catching nothing? They're up on shore. Now they've heard Jesus teaching. Jesus is asking them to go out into the deep and let down their nets for a catch. Peter and his brother Andrew, James and John, they're all fishermen. This is their trade. They know what they're doing. They've fished all night. They've not caught a thing. And yet Jesus asked him to cast out into the deep, let down your nets for a catch. And what was it that Peter replied? We've not caught anything all night long, but because it's you, Master, we'll do it. They let down their nets for a catch. It's just one boat out there now. Let down the net. And as they start to haul it in, all of a sudden, I mean, they're just getting one or two tugs on it, and it's already resisting. And as they begin to draw it closer to the surface, it is so full of fish, they can't imagine how many fish are in that net. He calls to James and John to bring the other boat out. They get both boats out there, and as they begin pulling the nets up, it's so many fish that they fill both boats to the point of almost sinking. Now, we have some fishermen here in this congregation. Have any of you done enough fishing that you've almost had your boat sink because you've had so many fish in your boat? Probably not. Now, I know some of you catch 100 or 115, 120, 130 fish, but can you imagine two boats pulled out there together, they're pulling in the nets, they have so many fish, they fill both boats to where what they call the gunwales, the top of the boat, is getting down close to the water because so many fish are in the boat. I can't picture that ever happening to me. I'm not much of a fisherman, but I can't ever picture myself getting so many fish that it fills the boat and it's making the boat get heavier and heavier and sinking down almost to the lake level. What was Simon Peter's response? He fell on his knees before Jesus, and he said to Jesus, go away from me, Jesus. And he recognized what kind of a person he was, because I am a sinful man. It was an encounter that Peter had with Jesus to recognize, here is the master of the universe. We've fished all night long. We haven't caught a thing. He says, cast your nets out for a catch. We do it. We get so many fish that we fill two boats, and they're almost sinking. And Peter is recognizing this is the master. And in his presence, Peter can do only one thing, fall to his knees before the master of the universe and cry out and say, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. Have you ever had that kind of an encounter with Jesus? To where you realize how great and wonderful he is in comparison to the life that you've lived. Jesus is sinless. Jesus is perfect. Jesus is master of the universe. He's in control of it all. We've seen that in that last series, haven't we? Jesus had perfect power over sin, over nature, over the Bible, over death and the grave. That is the master of the universe that we're talking about. And in comparison to him, we should be crawling on the floor. And that's why Peter drops to his knees before Jesus and he says, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." That's the proper respect that Peter had for Jesus. How did Jesus respond to Peter? First words from Jesus' mouth. What did Jesus say to Peter? The first thing that he said, "Don't be afraid." Folks, so many times, when we see who Jesus is, and we realize the sin that's in our lives, and that we're not by any means anywhere close in comparison to the holiness of Jesus, we should be falling to our knees before him and saying, "I have no right to come before you, Lord." That's the kind of thing that Peter was saying. And yet Jesus says what? "Don't be afraid." Jesus, in all of his holiness, is not trying to cast us out or push us away. He's trying to gather us in. Just like in that miraculous catch of fish, Jesus is trying to gather us in. And he says to Peter, "Don't be afraid, Peter. Don't be afraid. I know who I am, and I know who you are." Jesus could say that same thing to each one of us. "I know who I am, and I know who you are." He knows everything that you've ever said, every thought that you've ever had, everything that you've ever done, and we ought to fall on our knees before him and ask for mercy. And yet Jesus says, "Don't be afraid," to Peter. And what else does he tell him then? "From now on, you are going to catch men." That is to say, Jesus was calling Peter from his livelihood as a fisherman to say, "You're not going to catch fish. I could provide fish like this for you every day, but that's not going to be your job anymore. From now on, you are going to catch men." Sometimes, folks, we need to remember who Jesus is, and that he is making a call in our lives as well. First of all, a call to himself as Lord and Master, where we bow our knee before him in recognition that he is Lord of the universe, and that he has the power to forgive us our sins, to give us new life, to give us strength to live each day for him. Brethren, Jesus wants us to learn to launch out into the deep with him. I don't know if you've ever considered that, and I don't know what it would mean for you to launch out into the deep with Jesus. For each person has to answer that on their own. What would be a challenge for you? What is Jesus asking you to do in launching out into the deep with him, in putting your full trust upon him, and that he will provide all that you need in whatever circumstance of life in order to serve him? Most of you have known me for a while, know that I've been a preacher and a missionary, continue to work with missionaries now in coaching them and encouraging them and trying to assist them in the work that they're doing. What is it that Jesus is asking you to do in launching out into the deep with him? Folks, sometimes I think all of us have to admit that too much of the time we're content to play around in the shallows, Let me keep my feet underneath me. Let me feel the bottom of the lake right there so that I'm not out there in the deep where I might flounder and I might fail. I don't want to fail, Lord. I want to feel my feet underneath me. I really think God wants to speak to us, folks. And he wants to ask us to launch out into the deep with him. And he's not going to let us fail. He's not going to let us flounder. What else happened to Peter? You remember that other encounter we've already talked about? Peter and the disciples are out in the ship, and they're out in the lake, and the waves are high and all of that, and Jesus comes walking out on the water to them, and Peter says, Lord, if it's you, let me walk out on the water to you. And Jesus says, come on. And Peter steps down out of the boat, and Peter walks on top of the water too. Now, I think Peter was just as shocked as anybody when he did so. Until what? Until he saw the high waves, and he began to be fearful, and then he began to sink, and Peter cries out to the Lord, save me, Lord! And Jesus just reaches the hand to him, and just, you know, he's right back on top of the water again, and they step into the boat. Folks, I think we need to realize that Jesus is the master. He wants us to launch out into the deep with him. That means trust him no matter what. And even when we begin to look around and we begin to fear and we begin to feel like we're sinking and we cry out to the Lord, Lord, save me, he'll be right there to lift us up and to help us to live for him. Are you launching out into the deep with Jesus? Or are you still fearful? Afraid to get your feet off the bottom of the lake out into the deep? I want us to recognize that God can do things beyond what we would ever imagine. I know a man, and I'll tell you his name. His name is Bill Brandt. Bill Brandt had his struggles in school, never did very well in school. In fact, he failed English in the 9th grade 3 times. 3 times Bill Brandt failed English. He just couldn't master the grammar and couldn't understand how it functioned and couldn't write well or any of that. And so he quit school. He joined the armed forces. And after serving in the military, he came back out of the military and decided he wanted to go to Kentucky Christian College and prepare for ministry. Now, they accepted him on probation, you know, academic probation, because he just didn't do well in school. Bill Brandt went all the way through Kentucky Christian College, graduated from college, still had his struggles academically, and guess what? He felt God was calling him to be a missionary. He became a missionary in Africa, in Malawi. And while he's there, he began to sense, Lord, I know you need me to communicate to these people, but you know my difficulties with academic stuff. I don't do well with language. I couldn't even pass English in the 9th grade. You know, 3 times he failed it, and yet he kept praying to God, God, you've got to help me. And he committed himself to preaching his first sermon, not in English, but in Swahili. And 6 weeks later, after working on it for 6 weeks and praying about it, he preached his first message in Swahili. Bill Brandt served the Lord mightily and effectively as a missionary in Africa all of his adult life. He's one of our preachers, one of our missionaries among the Christian church. He was doing it by trusting completely in the power of God through Jesus to work in his life. He launched out into the deep, didn't he? And he trusted Jesus. Can I tell you about a man in Mexico named Raimundo Mora? Raimundo, at the age of 14, was already an alcoholic. Alcoholism in Mexico was and is a rampant problem. I can remember being on the streets of Mexico City and going by a cantina, you know, the bar, where two men came staggering out and so drunk, and even though they were brown skinned, their eyes were yellow. And there was a smell, because they couldn't afford to drink tequila or beer, they were buying the fermented cactus juice from the barrel head in the bar with all its impurities in it. And they perspired the smell of that cactus juice. But Raimundo Mora, at the age of 14, was already an alcoholic. Raimundo felt he had no reason to live, no hope for anything in this life. But when one of the missionaries there helped him come to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior, Raimundo's whole life turned around. God empowered him to leave the alcohol, to leave the bottle, to get rid of the addiction, to change his life, to begin sharing Jesus with his friends, and they were amazed. This is the same Raimundo that was always staggering around drunk, and now he's sober, and now he's preaching Jesus, and he had a great impact on the people that knew him. Raimundo, to my knowledge, is still busy working for Jesus, not by his power, but by God's power at work in him. Raimundo launched out into the deep, trusting Jesus. Many of you here already know Dario Iturra. Dario is another one of those examples. Dario, at the age of 14, came to the first Bible study, all because of brownies. You know, Marilyn was making brownies, and Dario's older brother, Juan Luis, was trying to get his younger brother, Dario, to come to the Bible study to learn about Jesus, and he couldn't get him to come. And finally, he remembered Dario loves chocolate, and so he says to Dario, "Dario, there are going to be brownies." Dario came that first night, and Dario remembers me challenging him about sin in his life and about his need for Jesus as a Savior. And when he left that first Bible study, he said, I couldn't get away from those two questions that you asked me. And they kept haunting me and coming back to me. God was at work in Dario. Dario was one of the most shy kids that I had ever met. Couldn't hardly look you in the eye. Couldn't talk to people that he didn't know. And yet Dario has been preaching the gospel now for 16 years in Chile. And now he's here in the United States getting further training at Great Lakes Christian College. But Dario became such a good preacher, folks, that the churches learned about it, and they began to invite him to come to the big gatherings of our churches to be the preacher, because he preached the gospel so well. And he had such a heart for the Lord. Dario learned to launch out into the deep with Jesus, even with the great shyness that he had. I want to tell you one other story of another example of people launching out in the deep with Jesus. We used to have our church service in the home of Luis in Mexico City. Luis worked with the U.S. Department of Agriculture in the blowfly, situation down in Mexico. Luis invited his sister, Angelina, to come and to take care of refreshments in the kitchen. And so this is, you know, we're in the living room, we're having church service in there, and I'm preaching the gospel, and she's in the kitchen preparing refreshments, and it's nothing but a little bamboo curtain there, and she can hear everything, and I didn't give any thought to it. And when it came to the invitation time and I issued an invitation, the next thing I knew, after the conclusion of the service, Angelina comes out with the refreshments and she's asking us, when can I be baptized? She had been hearing the message of Christ from the kitchen. And she wanted Jesus as her Lord and Savior. She wanted to be baptized into Christ. And she was. She was immersed into Christ. And I want you to know this. Angelina was happy and living for the Lord all 6 weeks that she lived. And the Lord called her home. Folks, we don't know who it is that we have contact with that today, tomorrow, next week, next month may no longer have life on this earth. Angelina launched out into the deep with Jesus, placed her faith in him, was baptized into Christ, lived for him. And I mean, this lady was coming by bus, by subway, and walking. I mean, it took her 2.5 hours to get to Luis's house in order to come and prepare, you know, those few refreshments. But she was willing to do it. And once she learned of the Lord, she came every Sunday until the Lord called her home. Are you launching out into the deep with Jesus? Jesus wants to make of us all fishers of men. You have contacts that no one else will have for Christ. I have contacts that you may never have for Christ. Each and every one of us knows people that need to hear about Jesus. You may be the only one that can tell them. Remember Jesus' words. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. That's mankind, you know, men, women, boys, girls. Everybody needs to hear about Jesus. Would you pray with me, please? Dear Father in heaven, we thank you so much for our Lord and Savior Jesus. Father, we thank you for even these Bible stories, this great catch of fish, the launching out into the deep, and that whole sense of being sinners before Jesus and he being so majestic and so great and so wonderful. Father, help us first and foremost to see that in our lives. And Father, help us to remember that you see things from an eternal perspective. Father, that you are not wanting that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Father, help us not to be afraid. Help us to cast our faith in Jesus and launch out into the deep with him. And trust you that you will not allow us to flounder or fail or drown. Father, help us in whatever way that we can, help us to speak a word for Jesus. Help us to tell our friends. Help us to tell our family members. Help us to tell our neighbors. Help us to tell our co-workers about the Jesus who loved them so much that he was willing to go and die on the cross for their sins and for ours. Father, make us fishers of men and women, boys and girls, as you want us to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.